Om Namah Shivaya. 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 Om Nam And the king asked them to be punished to kill. So the soldiers killed all the thieves and also pierced Mandala Muni with a spear. And when Mandala Muni was a great yogi, he was pierced by a spear, but he still did not die. And the soldiers were amazed, like, if somebody is pierced by a spear and not dying, then he must be extraordinary. So they went and told this to the king, and the king understood. He consulted his minister, and they understood, like, Mandala Muni was not an ordinary thief or anyone. And he was a great yogi. So they all begged for forgiveness to Mandala Muni, and then the king asked the spear to be removed. But to the surprise, they were not able to remove the spear from the body. So the king asked the spear to be cut from the point where it was in. So they just had to cut the spear, and then that part of the spear was inside Mandala Muni. And then once Mandala Muni was going through different, he was a great yogi, so he was going through different planets, and he came to the abode of Yamaraj. He asked Yamaraj, why was he put through all this pain? What was the apradha he had committed in his previous life that he had to go through this pain? And Yamaraj said, it was not because of the previous apradhas. It was just in this life itself, when you were a child, you had pierced in an insect with a grass. So that is why you had to go through a similar kind of pain. And Mandala Muni said, how old was I at that time? And Yamaraj said, you were about 5 years old. And Mandala Muni became really angry. He said, for an innocent child committing something like this, it's not equivalent to the pain you give when he's grown up, to the extent that he's poked with a spear. And he said, I curse you, because you did not do your justice properly, you should be born as a suzerain. So that was the curse Yamaraj got from Mandala Muni. So that's how Vidura was cursed to be born as suzerain. And then the second part of the story is in Mahabharata, where Vichitravirya and Chitrangada, they both are the sons of Maharaj Santanu and Satyavati. So they were supposed to be the king, but Chitrangada died because he had a quarrel with her. Gandharva was also named Chitrangada, and he killed Chitrangada, so he died. And Vichitravirya was then kept to marry, because it is custom. Like, if somebody has to be a king, to be enthroned on the king, he has to be a married person. So Satyavati and Bhishma arranged for three princesses, Amba, Ambika and Ambalika, to marry Vichitravirya. And we know the pastime in Mahabharata that Amba had already married in her mind to Salva. And so she was allowed to go, but Ambika and Ambalika married Vichitravirya. And just after marriage, Vichitravirya got engaged into so much of sense gratification that in due course of time he just died, because of, as mentioned, tuberculosis kind of disease. And so he died. So at that point, there was no king to rule the throne of Hastinapur. So Satyavati asked Bhishma to beget children in the wife of his brother, Vichitravirya. But Bhishma said, I have taken a vow in front of you, and you are the reason of my vow. So how can you ask me to break the vow? So he said, I am not going to break the vow. But then Bhishma said that it is possible that some Brahmana can beget children into the womb of Ambika and Ambalika, and that way the children can be born of the Swedes. So then Vyasadeva was called in, because Satyavati remembered that she had gave birth to Vyasadeva, who was her son, from Parashamuni. Because there was an incident where Parashamuni was traveling, and at one point Parashamuni saw that the situation was such, as per the astrological chart, it was a time, right time. If somebody begets a child, then the Lord is supposed to incarnate. So at that point, he searched for someone and he saw Satyavati. And again, Satyavati was not an ordinary lady. She was born of a fish. And again, that is the whole past time behind that. She was born of a fish. They were twins, Satyavati and Matsya. They both were born of fish. They were sons of a son and daughter of Yaksha, not Yaksha. Vasus. So one of the Vasus, there was a semen which was to be carried. So the bird was carrying the semen of one of the Vasus and he dropped that semen into water. And in that water the fish ate those semen and begat this two child, Matsya and Satyavati. So the Vasu, then the fish was caught by a fisherman, and when he opened up the fish, he saw this two child were there, Matsya and Satyavati. So he was confused, how come a normal child were born of a fish? And at that time the Vasu came and he said, this child is mine. And he took away the Matsya, the boy child, and the female child. He said, okay, you fishermen, you can keep the child. So this Matsya, Satyavati was a female child born of the fish. So she was not an ordinary lady. So, but there was one thing about this Satyavati, right? Because she was born of fish, she always smelled like a fish. So there was a bit of smell which always emanated from her. So at that time, when Parashurami was looking around, he saw Satyavati because she was driving the boat, she was taking passengers from one side of the river to the other. So Parashurami saw Satyavati and put a proposal in front of Satyavati that this is the auspicious time and this is the right time that a lord can be born. So you have to help me in this big cause. So Satyavati agreed, and then that's how Vyasadeva was born, by the union of Parashurami and Satyavati. And it's interesting, Vyasadeva was not born like a normal child. Again, as soon as he was born grown up. He just grew up as a rishi and he just walked away. So we see this is not like a normal union or normal materialistic sense education that we see in Monday life. So Vyasadeva was born and he left. And at that time, Parashurami was very happy that the Lord had incarnated. So he offered benediction to Satyavati. He said, what do you want? Satyavati said, just this bad smell which always comes from me, just take that away. So this is again, Satyavati was not spiritually so advanced. But she asked for that bad smell. So, and Parashurami said, okay, so be it. So Parashurami gave her benediction that now from now on, you will emanate like incense smell, smell of a flower, which will go for yojanas. So your smell will be felt by you from yojanas away. So everyone will be attracted to your this pleasing smell, scented smell. So at that time, Santanu was driving his chariot into the forest. He was doing hunting, and then he smelled Satyavati, and he came to this place where Satyavati was, and he put up a proposal to marry Satyavati, and then Satyavati's father told Santanu Maharaj that I cannot marry my daughter to you because you already have a son. And because you already have a son and he is going to the king, so what is the future of my daughter's sons? So everyone thinks about the career, parents think about the career, so he was also thinking about what is the career path for the my sons. So that point, Santanu first agreed in his heart, he wanted to say, okay, yes, yes, no problem, I'll agree to this. But then he realized, no, Bhishma is, at that time he was not Bhishma, he was Devrat. So Devrat was his elder child, and it was his right to become the king. And he was capable of becoming the king, he was very strong, he was pious, he had all the knowledge, so it was his chance to become a king. So he said, no, this proposal is not good. So he went back. But then he was not happy with him. So Devrat felt that, that my father is a bit lost these days. So he inquired from the ministers what has happened, and the ministers told him that this is what the situation is. So Devrat goes to the father of Satyavati and convinces him that, okay, I agree that Satyavati's child will become the king. I will not become the king. But then still, the father was not convinced. So he said, okay, I take a vow that I will never marry and I will never bear any child. So that way, your career for your daughter's children are secured. So he took this vow. So this is how Vichitravirya and Chandravirya and Satyavati called him for Vyasaya to impregnate this the wife from Mika and Ambalika of Vichitravirya. So again, there is another nice pastime where when Vyasaya was called in, Vyasaya was told Satyavati that this Ambika and Ambalika, they need to perform austerity for 1 year before they can associate with me. Because if they don't perform austerity, then they will not be qualified to beget my semen. But Satyavati said, no, we don't have 1 year. There is no one to rule, so you have to do it immediately. So at that time, Vyasa said, okay, if they can bear my smell and my form and not become disturbed by that, then it is considered as austerity itself. And so that's okay, then I'll begin. So when the right time came, Ambika was first called in. At that time, when Vyasa went in front, so she was told, like Satyavati went and told Ambika that this is the situation, and the elder brother of Vichitravirya, who was born much before, he'll come and we can have the union and we can have a child. So in her mind, Ambika had an image of some Kshatriya or someone strong, and she was thinking about it that way. And when Vyasa came in front of her, she became so disturbed and afraid, looking at the form of Vyasa, because he was blackish color, matted hair, red eyes, and there was a smell coming from Vyasa's body because of austerity tapasya was doing. So she became so scared that she closed her eyes, to that extent that even while dreaming, she never opened her eyes. And she was very scared of it. So then Vyasa went to Satyavati after the conception and told Satyavati that the boy will be strong, he will have a strength of 10,000 elephants. He will be knowledgeable, he will be attached to the kingdom, he will have all the good qualities for becoming a king, but because of the mother closing her eyes, he will be born blind. So at that point, Satyavati said, no, this is not good. A blind person cannot rule the kingdom independently. So you have to do one try one more time and impregnate Ambalika. So at that time, Ambalika was again instructed that this is the situation, and Ambika closed her eyes, so you better not close your eyes. And Ambalika was then in the room, and then when Vyasa came in front of Ambalika, at that time she became pale. She was so scared, but she was not able to close her eyes, and she became pale, and she was also very scared. So when the union happened, the boy was, Vyasa told Satyavati that the boy will be born, who will be born, will be pale, and he will not have a long, long life. So again, this was the situation. So Satyavati was not happy that if the boy does not have a long life in his pain and he always will be sick, this is not good. So he said, we'll give one more try. And finally, after convincing Vyasa, okay, no problem. So after Dhritarashtra was born of Ambika and Pandu was born of Ambalika, again Vyasa was called here to associated with Ambika. But at that time, Ambika already knew like how fearful this Vyasa would look. So what she did was, she asked her, she sent her Dasi, her servant, maid servant, in front of Vyasa in that room. And then she was very obedient because she knew the glories of Vyasa. So she was very obedient and she served Vyasa very nicely, and Vyasa was very happy with her service. And then Vyasa gave her a son who was Vidura. And Vyasa told Satyavati that this son, Vidura, will be very pious, very knowledgeable, and he will be known, knower of the religion. And that's how Yamaraj was cursed to become Vidura and was born in the family of Vyasa. Actually, he was a Rajan in that sense, because he was brother of Dhritarashtra and Pandu. So, in that way, he was the king, and that is how Yamaraj was born, and he had all the qualities. So, coming back to our pastime, where it is mentioned how the prachetas are emitting fire and air from their mouth. So, we will try to understand the characters of these prachetas as well. Because it's, and Prabhupada makes this point that in ordinary circumstances, devotees don't get angry. The jivas are ones who don't get angry. Whereas prachetas are completely acting in the opposite way. So, in the beginning, at the end of, we'll just do a little bit of a recap. So, Vidura, so Maitreya Muni, after telling this pastime of Prithu Maharaj to Vidura, then Maitreya Muni at the end of 22nd chapter, beginning of 23rd chapter, tells the descendants, he names the descendants of Prithu Maharaj and Swayambhumanu. And he says that Prithu Maharaj had a son named Vijitsava. And now we know about this son Vijitsava. When Prithu Maharaj was performing 100 horse sacrifice, and Indra stole, every time Indra stole the horse. Finally, when Indra was stealing the horse, this Vijitsava caught Indra and bind Indra. So, he was about to kill Indra. So, imagine the strength of this personality, Vijitsava. Like, it's not ordinary. Indra is a king of heaven. So, he is an angel, he is a head of demigods, he is very powerful. But Vijitsava is able to capture him and bind him. So, imagine the strength of Vijitsava. So, he was very powerful, and but when the sages said, don't kill Indra, leave him, because if he is killed, like, who will rule the heavenly planets? And he is a devotee of the Lord as well. So, leave him. So, Vijitsava just left him and not worried. So, Indra was very happy with this attitude of Vijitsava, and he gave him a blessing that from now on you can become invisible. Your name will be Antardhan. You can become invisible at your own way. Imagine if we had something like that power. So most of the devotees would be entangled by it. So, but yeah, these are the series that one gets. It's interesting, we only realize something when things are taken away from us. We don't realize until then that who had realized this would be the time where we couldn't enter the temple. You have to make excuses, you have to enter, you have to take up some service. Like, even if it's a small service, you have to take up some service to come to temple. So we should never underestimate the power of time. I remember once one devotee told me that Prabhu will go to Holy Dham. Like, I've been going for the last few years. So one devotee told me, you've been going to Holy Dham for the last 2-3 years, like, what inspires you to go? And I told him, who knows, tomorrow I might not be, I'm physically handicapped or something, or something happens, financially I'm not strong, I might not go, not be able to visit Dham. So I just, if I'm able to do it right now, I'm just doing it. And he said, more than that, you should think, what happens if you don't have faith tomorrow to go to Dham? So, and I was thinking about this, and it was true that more than physical or financial is the faith which I may lose more than the other abilities, and I might not go. So it's important that we go to the holy places. It's important we take the opportunity of associating. And this whole pastime, if you read this pastime carefully, there is one thing which is coming in the last few chapters. If you read carefully, one thing is repeated again and again, which is?
Sadhu-sangha.
Perfect. Yeah. So, association of the devotees is emphasized in the whole pastime. Like, if you hear the prayers of Lord Shiva to the prachetas, when he tells prayers, his prayers, he gives a mantra, at the end of the prayers is saying, Sadhu Sangha is the most association of the devotees is the most. And at the end of this chapter also, when the Kachetas are offering prayers to the Lord, at the end they are saying, make sure that we get the association of the devotees. And so the most important thing in this whole section is the association of the devotees, and especially taking association with holy dhamma is also very important. Because when we visit our holy dhamma, it's like a spark. I mean, we are like the spark of the fire. So when the fire is burnt, when you have the bonfire or big fire is there, there are sparks which emanate out of the fire. So that life of, and Prabhupada gives this example in Bhagavad Gita, it's mentioned in Bhagavatam also, that the life of a spark which is out of the fire, how much can it live? Few moments and then extinguish it. But that same spark, if it is put back into the fire, it lives for until the fire is there. So the holy dhams, the temple, the association of the devotees are like this fire, and we are like this spark. Until we associate with them on a regular basis, we will be extinguished. Our bhakti will be extinguished, our faith will be extinguished. So it is very important that we not minimize when we have the opportunity, because in certain situations like this, now we can realize it's so difficult to associate with devotees, it's so difficult to even think about going to holy dhamma. Even if you want to go, you cannot go back. So it's difficult times. So one has to make use of the opportunity. I'm sure, like when the lockdown, when this whole thing hopefully finishes quickly, devotees will appreciate more when they come into temple, when they go to holy dhamma, when they associate with the devotees, because it's, in that sense, it has given good realization to all the devotees, like how difficult it is when you don't have association. In Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami mentions, like, don't visit Vrindavan Dham. And if you visit Vrindavan Dham, do not go onto the banks of Yamuna. And if you ever go to the banks of Yamuna, do not visit Keshika. And if you go to Keshika, don't look into the eyes, don't look at the face of this black boy. Because if you do that, your material life will be finished. So sarcastically he is saying that if you go to the holy dhamma, if you go to the banks of Yamuna, go to Keshika, you will see this black boy and your material life will finish. So this is the reason you should go to holy dhamma. And also Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written a beautiful song about very nice, beautiful song actually. And it's mentioned that in the land of Nadia, Navdvip, Godrume, on the island of Godrum, Nityananda Mahajan, Lord Nityananda is roaming around. What is he doing there in Nadia and Godrum? Pashyate naam hata jivaya karana. Pashyate naam hata. He has opened up a shop of the holy name. In the marketplace, he is selling the holy name, Jivera Karana, for the fallen souls. So, when you visit Nadia, when you visit Mayapur, when you visit Godrum, you see Nityananda giving away the holy names for free. It's interesting, I heard one of the lectures where it was mentioned that when you go to Krishna, Krishna is like, as much as you surrender, Krishna reciprocates. The more you surrender, Krishna reciprocates more. So that's Krishna. And Radharani is a bit more merciful. Radharani, when you go and offer offerings to Radharani, then she says, okay, you, Krishna, please accept this devotee. He's a nice devotee. So Radharani puts a word to Krishna. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is more merciful than Radha and Krishna, because it's a combined form of Radha and Krishna. So he gives away Mahamantra for free. But more merciful than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Nityananda Prabhu. Because Nityananda Prabhu comes to you and gives you mercy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also you have to go, and he was given an example of how you appear for an exam. Krishna is like, if you attempt for 50 marks, you will get 50 marks. Radharani is, if you are just failing like 45, 47, then Radharani will put 2-3 marks and pass you. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like, even if you apply, you just come for the exam, you are passed. But Nityananda Prabhu is, you don't even sit for the exam. You just write your name and go away. I will pass you. That is Nityananda Prabhu. He is saying that, Nityananda Prabhu is saying,
You bring the question to your house.
That's right. No, that is someone else. That is someone else actually. Nityananda Prabhu says, you come and write your exam, write your name, and I will pass you. And then there is Srila Prabhupada, who comes to your home and writes exam for you. You just have to be willing to appear. So this is the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. But this is a beautiful song. We can sing this song actually. And today the culture also. So I thought we can sing this song, Nadia Bhuvana. Nadia ho tume Nityananda Mahajan.
Nadia ho tume
Nityananda
Mahajan.
Nadia ho tume for the fallen conditioned souls of this world, is selling He set up this Namahata. It is mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. There are two devotees who literally back this. It is mentioned, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentioned that Prabhuda Arjunan Bhai Mage Bhiksha is begging. That's right. Ah, that's it. So, we see Lord Balram, and he is in the mood, angry mood. He has got a halada, he's got halada, because he has got this halada in his hand. And we know his mood of Lord Balram is like anger. And he's ready to drag Yamuna away in anger. And we also know like Ramahasana, he just, for a small offense, wasn't small, it is big offense, but for an offense, he even cut off the throat of Ramahasana. And here, the same Lord Balram, what is he doing? Mage Bhiksha is begging. So how can we understand the mood of Lord Balram, who comes at Nityananda Prabhu? So he is the most munificent. He's like, he's begging actually when he comes to Kali Yuga, when he comes in this pastime. And it's interesting, in the pastime of Jagai Madai, he knew that Jagai Madai are not going to be, they need the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to become pure devotees. He was not able to convince them. He could have done that, but to get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he enacted this whole pastime of blood coming. But Lord Balram, like, how can you get Lord Balram of Nityananda Prabhu and the blood comes? He is Sachidananda. The blood cannot come, but he enacted this pastime. Let the blood come out and let everything happen so that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes and gives the mercy to Jagannatha and they become delivered. So somehow here in Prataranga, what does Nityananda Prabhu do? You just come and write your name and I will write your paper and you will pass. So this is the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. But he is saying, Aparadha Sunya Hoy Lo Krishna. When you take the holy names of Krishna, don't commit apradhas. Sunya Hoy. Krishna Mata Krishna Tata Krishna Dhan Prana. Because Krishna is the treasure. Krishna is a samsara koro chadi anacha. Make your samsara, whatever condition, whatever situation you are living in, make it Krishna samsara. So put Krishna in the center. Jiva Daya Krishna Nam Sarva Dharma. So this is the principle of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So there are three things Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching, if you understand. It's Naam Kirtan, Sadhu Sangha and Jiva Daya. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached these three principles and Bhaktivinoda Thakur is repeating. This is the mode of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as well as Nityananda Prabhu. Jiva Daya, Krishna Naam, Sarva Dharma, Sar. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is giving like one should, there was a purport for this song Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written, in that he is saying that one should chant at least in the name. So three kinds of chanting are there. The first kind of chanting is Namakara stage. As it is mentioned, one should not chant in the Namakara stage. One should at least chant at the second level, which is Nam Abha stage. And the third is Sudha Nam stage. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, even in Namabhas there are two kinds of Namabhas. One is Chaya Namabhas and the other is Pratibhinda Namabhas. So Chaya Namabhas is Chaya, as I said. Chaya is the shadow of the name. And Pratibhinda is the reflection. So of these two, Chaya Namabhas is still better. You are chanting the Chaya Namabhas, eventually that will lead you to the Sudha Nam. If you chant with Chaya Namabhas, because at least you are not committing any apradhas. But Pratibhinda Namabhas is like you are shadow, it's a reflection. So in that you are acting as if you are chanting. There is an interesting, someone told me, there was a 3-year-old daughter and she asked her mother, her parents, saying that, can I have a big bag? I also want to chant. Because she saw parents are chanting every day. So she asked, can I have a big bag? I also want to chant. And parents are happy, wow, this is good. So they gave her a small big bag and a small bag inside, and she put her hand inside the hand inside the big bag, and she said, "Oh, can I have the mobile also?" Buy mobile. So they said, "Okay, anyways, she's asking." So she took the mobile phone, and then Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Because she thought this is the way one should chant. She was looking at her parents doing that, and she's Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So one should not chant. That is a reflection. That is pratyayana. This is a joke, but still, it is very powerful because not only talking about myself at this stage. So most of the time, we are not what is the activity that we are doing. We are chanting in this pratibimba. And this story, actually this story is real. The parents told this story. So they had a shock of their life, of what they are doing. And kids are like the pratibimba. They show you what you are. They don't have this duplicious covering, facade on front of their, whatever activities they do, they are direct. If they don't like it, they will, as soon as you pick them up, they will cry. They will not tell, "Oh, now it's nice here, but I want to go home." They will cry in front of you. So you should know that you are a bit scary for them. So as we grow, like we put this facade, but they are pratibimba, they are reflection. Whatever you do, they will show you this is what is there. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur cautions the devotees of this pratibimba, Namavas. Because you're still having this material endeavors, you're still having the desire for liberation, impersonal liberation, so which is not conducive for sadhana, for chanting. And he mentions this in, again, he mentions in the purport of this song that one can get out of this pratibimba by two things: by associating with the devotees who have got the taste for chanting. So that is the first thing. And second, by associating with the devotees and going to the holy dham. So he mentions this point as well. That by associating with the devotees and the holy dham, then you can get the taste, the mellows of Namarasa with the devotees there. Because this is the way one can progress some out of this Namarasa. Now we come back to the time now. So we'll quickly summarize. So what did Antardhana do? His son was Havirdhana, and Havirdhana's son was Prashanabali, Barishat or Prashanabali. So you know the pastime how Narada Muni told the whole pastime of Puranjana to Prashanabali. And the Prachetas who were born of Prashanabali, the 10 sons of Prashanabali, they were instructed by their father Prashanabali to go and do tapasya, austerity for 10,000 years. And so they went and came to the lake where this lake was very peaceful and calm, and they entered into the waters of this lake. Prabhupada in this support mentions that those devotees who are peaceful and calm, they are the Hiras, and they automatically get the environment which is peaceful. It is mentioned that in that lake, even the fishes and swans and everyone were so peaceful. And when the Prachetas performed austerity, came to this lake, it is mentioned Lord Shiva came out of the waters of the lake. And it is mentioned, again, Prabhupada makes this point that the devotees, pure devotees, when they perform, they are so attractive that even the demigods want to associate with them. So, Prabhupada makes this point that the devotees are, devotees' mind are, they are like Dhira, and they are such that because they have got the qualities, godly qualities, they have got the qualities of Krishna, and they follow the principle of Sunya, Abhilashika Sunya. So they don't have any other desire other than associating with the associating with the Lord, and with the holy and with the Lord continuously. So they are peaceful, and the demigods also desire to associate with such a devotees. So we know the past time that how Lord Shiva gave them the prayers and mantras and prachitas, then chanting those prayers for 10,000 years. So the quality of prachita is mentioned here that, and then they saw the Lord face to face. That was because they followed the orders of, first of all, their father who was saintly, the king, and he gave him right advice of doing tapasya, and then of Lord Shiva. So they accepted Lord Shiva as their guru and followed their order. And it is mentioned in 1-11, Prabhupada, 2-11, Prabhupada quotes this verse, Etam Nirvitam Anam Ichatam Akuto Bhayam Yoginam Nirvitam Nirvitam Harir Namam Kirtanam. Following the footsteps of the great sage, it is the doubtless and clearest way for all. So, prachitas are exemplifying this quality of following the footsteps of the his father and their father and Lord Shiva, and then eventually they see the Lord face to face. And at the end, they ask for benediction that give us a benediction that we are always in the association of the devotees. So we see prachitas are, and they got angry just because they were being given. Now they are at the end, Lord said, okay, now you can go and you can propagate this universe because you have done austerity for 10,000 years, you please me, and by the end of your life you come back to the spiritual world. So they go and perform this service, and when they are beginning to perform, now it has been 10,000 years, and Prachinna Bhari was coming to the Narad Muni and he had already left before, even before. He did not wait for the sons to come back. I remember there was a pastime of a devotee. I don't remember them, but I always try to search for this personality. And he wrote to Jiva Goswami in Vrindavan that he wants to come and join him in Vrindavan. So he wrote to the Goswami instead. And he was waiting. In those days, he is from South India. And he wrote a letter, so it was not like email or a phone call or that, can I come? Okay, come. No, it wasn't like that. So he had written a letter to the Goswamis, I think it was you Goswami, he wrote a letter that I have a desire to come to Vrindavan. And if you permit, then I'll come and assist you in your sadhana, in your writings. And so he was waiting for the reply, whether Jiva Goswami gives a reply or not. So one day, and again in the olden days, you don't do your morning activities inside your house. So you go outside, at the outskirt of the village, and you perform all the excretory and everything outside the village. So this person had gone in the morning, he had woke up, he had gone outside at near the well, and he was taking, brushing his teeth actually. It is mentioned he had not a toothbrush, but a stick that the olden people used to use. So he had stick in his mouth and was brushing his teeth. At that time the postman came with a letter. He asked for a letter for you. And he said, he opened the letter and it was mentioned in that, please come. These two words were mentioned. Please come, Jiva Goswami. And he did not bother going back home. Right from there with his brush, he just washed his mouth, went to the outskirts, sat in the bus, on a vehicle, whatever it was available, and immediately left for Vrindavan. Did not even bother going back home. So this is what is required. I'm trying to find the name of this Goli. But this is what is required, that one needs to associate, that is the thing one needs to associate with the devotees. So this is what prachitas are asking to the Lord. Give us this kind of intensity that we never leave the association of the devotees. Okay, I'll stop here. Any comments or questions or corrections? Yes, ma'am.
Prabhu, is it fair, or then I guess it's fair, but in the angle that Prachinna Bhari Maharaj, he didn't wait for the sons to come back, and he just left it, you know, and then when they finished their penance, then everything was overgrown and out of control. Is it fair that the king left the kingdom like that?
Yeah, it is. It is mentioned that to save a village, you can sacrifice a family. To save the whole state, you can sacrifice a village. And to save a country, you can sacrifice a state.
But to save yourself, you can sacrifice the whole country. And as is mentioned, save a planet, you can sacrifice the country. But to save yourself, you can sacrifice the whole universe. So, and he was not living for some bad habits or to engage in materialistic activity. He was convinced that whatever is this is, and Prabhupada writes nice purpose in that section. Prabhupada says that it's just the time factor, it's just a time factor which is enacting everything. And Bhishma Dev in his study at the end, it's very interesting. Bhishma Dev mentioned this to Yudhishthira Maharaj. See how amazing this time is. Everyone thinks that he is the doer, but it is the Krishna who is doing through time. This time is the one which is enacting everything. And one is continuously, whole life is engaged in thinking, I am the doer and I am performing this act. So this is one of the things, if one realizes, then one will not engage into a lot of trouble of going through, because many of the things happen by their own act. So one should not endeavor too much for performing, or one should not attaha prashasa prajapani mata. One should not put in a lot of endeavor in materialistic things. Yeah, one should do whatever duties one should perform, but one should be surrendered to the Lord more than putting in a lot of endeavor. So it is the time factor, and Narada Muni nicely explained in the whole Puranjana pastime. That time, what happened to Puranjana? So it is very convincing to understand that however strong or you may think you are the doer, but really it's the time which is making everything happen.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll end it. Shri Prabhupada ji, Jai Ananta Srimad Bhagavatam ki.